This week on RSVNB Update, Wilderness Flash events are coming next week, and we ask about expansions. We also lay out why no update weeks could become more common, share game jam results, and then we take a dive into ModJack's designing RuneScape livestream. This is RSVNB Update, episode 904, recorded Thursday, October 13th, 2022. Dirty Words. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVNB Update. Tanis is here, as he is each and every week. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
It's just us two this week. We got a bit of a quieter week in terms of RuneScape updates, which we're going to talk about as to why that might not be such a bad thing going forward. We got some news about what's happening with next week's update. And, of course, we have the updates from last week's Game Jam. And we're going to fill our listeners in on what our Fresh Start panelists from last week have been doing. So it might be a bit of a quieter week in RS, but nonetheless, we do have a good amount of stuff here to talk about. And we're going to deliver you guys a good show, as you guys expect each and every week. If you want full show notes, you can follow along at update.show. You can find me in-game at Shane12088 or Shane with three E's. Tanis is at Tanis79 or FSWTanis79. I honestly probably should have went with FSWShane12088 thinking about it now. But I've always wanted the name Shane in RS. Apparently it's unranked, so I don't know what the status of it is, but
hey, you got it, you know, just with a couple extra
with a couple extra E's on the end and whatnot. So, I was interested this week because I was looking and I was thinking, okay, we got ModJack's live stream. We got ModJack's live stream. Mm-hmm. And that's all we got. So what does that mean about what's happening with RS? And how is that going to fit into things? And it's interesting because you and I have talked about this countless times before, that just because there's no update doesn't mean there's nothing happening. And this week is a prime example of that. And we're going to go into some of those things in the discussion about news posts and what needs to be said and what probably isn't being said and what a lot of players probably don't realize, but that'll be next. But on Monday, we're getting Wilderness Flash events and Too Many Quests as part of the October update. And catch this, Tanis. Three new mini quests are going to be released in the lead up to the Daughter of Chaos finale that'll take you deep into the wilderness. And we're getting two of them next week, and then the third one later this year.
I'm kind of excited to see what could happen with the reworking of the Wildy and our little mini quest here. Number one, it's great to have a more concise storyline in a more reasonable time frame. Two, who knows what happens by the time this is all said and done? Will we get that? What's the name of the city, Shane? Do we get
4 and 3?
And
3 was the region and whatnot, and there were numerous cities part of it. But yeah, that would be something that would be the ultimate in terms of wilderness rework. I don't know if they'll go that far, but maybe there will be something alluded to in that as we move through these mini quests. What really got me is that they are really holding to those smaller storylines, and that this storyline started in August and is going to be one quest at the beginning, one quest at the end, three mini quests, some wilderness mini events along the way. And that's going to be the storyline.
Well, and I like this, though, because so right now, with the way that the Elder God Wars storyline kind of ended and ran into the Daughter of Chaos storyline, that's one thing. But think about this structure and applying it to regions or kingdoms. It would work really, really well, right? Because you don't need a big, long, drawn out storyline.
And it gives them the opportunity to not necessarily just be locked into one spot forever. In that, if they wanted to, they could go look around the area of Ardoyan and whatnot, and maybe, hell, even link that in with the gnomes.
Well, exactly. You can build. See, this is easier to build the story of where everything is at the moment, and then going forward, if you want to make things a little bit more complex, you can bring in one or two kingdoms or a couple of these threads and start putting them together and weaving a new storyline out of the two that you made, you know, the year before.
Right.
Which is something we haven't been able to do at this point.
Because the other ones were so big and monolithic.
Yes. Yeah.
And when you think about it, 2019 was when the Elder God War stuff really kicked off with Desperate Measures. And it wasn't until this summer, 2022, 3 years, that we got the conclusion on that. And the number of people who have come and gone from the game since then, that's probably something that you know, can't easily be counted, but it's probably a good number that resulted in people not being able to experience the full storyline. Whereas with this, you get roped in with the Zamorak boss fight in July, you buy a 6-month membership package, boom, you're able to see the majority of the storyline. Premier Club goes on sale in November, you buy for another year and you're in RuneScape for a year, or you just continue month by month until the storyline is finished if you don't want to commit for that long. So it's really good from the story side and quest side and lore side as we've laid out, but I think it's also really good from the business side too. And people probably don't think about that side that much when it comes to how updates are structured and whatnot. So.
Well, no, I don't. And you know, there's another one of our little RuneScape dirty words here.
Uh-oh. But,
you know, this is prime. Like, this is how you would do story in an expansion.
Right, the expansion would be one dungeon, Zamorak in Undercity with the boss, and then following from that, you'd get more kind of things to do in the wilderness and some storylines associated with it, and then you get a final piece of the storyline at the end.
Yeah, but don't call an expansion.
No, that's a dirty word.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, and you know, I hope, if anything, our listeners see that, because that's where we've been before on this podcast and what we have been saying for a while. And if you're new to this show, you'll see that this is something we talk about regularly. We talk about words that are dirty in the community, namely the expansion word right now. But look,
when it's done, when it's executed properly, you don't even notice, right? Like, everything lines up. You have momentum. And you get the value that you expect to get out of your membership, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the important thing.
Right. And the value for me out of my Premier Club is the yearly membership, some of the cosmetics that come along, and of course the Yak Track stuff. But now, if we're going to be talking about guaranteed stories, guaranteed quests, guaranteed pieces of content that we're going to see the rise of and the conclusion of in one cycle, that adds even more value to Premier Club and just the idea of a yearly sub that you can pick up at this point now, remember, at any point in time.
Absolutely. And keep in mind, not only do you have these self-contained pieces of content where, granted, it may not be weekly, it may not even always be monthly and what we've expected, you know, what we've been used to in the past. But what we do have is this plan. We see where it's going, and you have these overarching, these big goals, these big timelines of a new skill or a new this or a new that, you know, that type of.
And then the question is, what kind of expansion theme thing are we going on for the new skill? And how is that going to tie in to the next storyline?
Exactly. And I can't wait to see what that is.
And that's the grow up, I think, that started with RuneScape and archaeology and then the Elder God Wars, but it needed to be refined into a way that can be repeated yearly, and lo and behold, here we are. So
yeah, I want people to kind of, when you're thinking of RuneScape, I mean, you need to think like something the size of a cruise ship, a battleship, right?
Yeah.
Like this thing doesn't
yeah.
turn on a dime.
Yeah.
It sets into motion, but once it gets righted, you're cruising, right? Like, and I think we're at a point now where we're cruising.
Starting to be able to feel that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rewards from the mini quests that we're going to be getting this week include, or next week, I don't know if this is following it. It's a little bit weird how it's laid out, but Infernal Puzzle Box Tier 3. Adrenaline won't drain outside of combat. So players who have already unlocked this will not lose access to it. So this is from Civil War 1 unlock. So if you didn't already have this, you'll get it. And then the second one is for Wilderness Flash event, Brawling Gloves will give an extra 25% experience.
Oh, smack. Dude.
And you
That's
know,
serious.
Like, I have a few of these sitting in my bank. And I never use them, you know, like, I feel like they're cumbersome to use and they could use a ninja pass on them. I don't know what the answer to that would be. And I'm just going to put that out there and just say that right now, that I feel like brawling gloves are cumbersome and it'll be interesting to see how this works with this. And the reason I say they're cumbersome is I have a pair of fire making brawling gloves and I don't know how I would train fire making in the wilderness. I guess set up a bonfire by one of the bankers, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, the reason they feel that way was because they were that way when it came to trying to do this when it was the old Wildy. I think now, this is something I never even thought about, but there's a lot more possibilities now. Brawling gloves, by all rights, should be easier and less risky to use.
Well, yeah, of course you can use them with PvP off now, whereas previously PvP had
exactly.
And if
yeah,
you want, and I mean, if you want to amp it up even further and go that extra one step in terms of danger, you can turn PvP on and equip a demonic skull.
You could. You probably don't really even need
no,
to. But,
no.
But yeah, I mean, but that's why, like, I think you don't often think about brawling gloves as part of a training regimen or what
no.
have you.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I've got some, and I will tell you this, if you're ever in a woodcutting competition or anything like that, you got some brawlers, take that out in the wildy, do some divine trees. Ooh. Get
nice.
You a get you a dwarven chain axe. Oh, it's on.
All right. Yep. And speaking of skilling in the wilderness, the main update we're getting next week, in addition to the mini quests, is the Wilderness Flash events. And they say that the wilderness has had its refresh and it's been very combat and slayer focused. So there's this new event system that's coming in that gives you a variety of short form encounters across a range of different skills to open up the wilderness to other players other than just the combat types. So, how it works is that the events will run on a set schedule. The encounter type and location will be decided by the system. They're all members only, and players can start by visiting the hosts in Edgeville. And then with that, each event will have a win condition which scales with the number of players involved. And there'll also be a time limit that acts as a failure condition. So the more people that play means you get more XP. And these encounters are designed to have fairly simple gameplay. And they say, we don't want to overload you, especially when you'll be taking the new wilderness threat system into consideration. That's nice.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing you wouldn't want to overwhelm too, because if you're making it, the more people, the better XP.
Yeah, but keep in mind, you're going to be able to
happen.
You'll be able to do it with PvP. You'll be able to do it with PvP off.
Yeah. But I mean, just remember how how the game kind of functioned when a lot of people show up in the same spot at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually interested to see how these will play for Fresh Start World, some of these, in all honesty, because keep in mind, we do get these as well.
Real? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through them, because there's four types. There's general skilling, which is resource gathering, special killing, which is new shooting star and evil tree variants, general combat, which involves killing mobs, and special combat, which is a new mini-boss type encounter with the KBD. And they say, of course, these can be tackled in groups and scaled to the number of players involved. And, of course, when you leave the wilderness, threat level resets. And with this, the events that you have, the general skilling ones, are surprise seedlings, and this is the one I'm interested in. Mutated flower seedlings will spawn on the ground and you water them until they're fully grown. You harvest the fully grown flowers, but some of them will be poisonous, so you need to be careful around those. Butterfly swarms, you catch the non-dangerous ones and avoid the dangerous ones. This sounds like a hunter one. This will be interesting for you to try.
I was going to say, this all sounds like really bad for me, but we'll check it out.
This one, they specifically say the butterfly one will be based on color.
Oh, well, fun.
Let's hope they took colorblindness into account for that.
Well, give me some mouse over text, at least.
we got a divination one, gather displaced energy. An unnatural outcrop, which is mining corrupted ore to deplete it. Lost souls, gathering ectoplasm from ghosts. That sounds like a prayer one. An evil bloodwood tree. You nurture the evil tree sapling and harvest bones from nearby skeletons. You crush them and then feed them to a tree. Then there's one where you chop the tree. Just chop down all the roots. So there's your wood cutting one. You can burn the tree as well in a different one. Set it on fire. Infernal star, mine to the center of the fallen star. A fight against pyre fans, a mob of forgotten warriors, mages and rangers, a mob of Ramuki deathslingers, blood ragers and stormbringers, spiders, hellhounds, demons, and the KBD. So there's a good selection of combat and skilling ones, and they run on a 12-hour schedule, and then the schedule repeats. And they have the schedule here of when they're going to run, and the schedule from 11 a.m. game time is planned as follows. So the first one is Spider Swarm, Unnatural Outcrop, Demon Stragglers, Butterfly Swarm, KBD, Forgotten Soldiers, Surprising Seedlings, Hellhound Pack, Infernal Star, Lost Souls, Ramuki, Incursion, Displaced Energy, and then the Evil Bloodwood Tree. And then at this point, the schedule repeats itself. So you're going to be able to grab this at some point through the day. You're going to have to, I guess, log in on mobile to complete this if you're not able to do it on your main PC. And I'd say my earliest take on this is that I don't like something I want to do, say the woodcutting one or the farming one, necessarily being tied to a specific time where I need to set that time aside and log in to complete this. So we'll have to wait and see how the rewards are on this, if there's that much of a draw to pull you in at that specific time. And if so, for me, that's the only thing I can see personally that I'd be having an issue with on this right now.
And the thing with these, I guess since they're flash mobs, we don't really know where they're going to show up at.
No.
Right?
So that, no. And yeah. I mean, if they're anything like the other demon flash mobs, they'd say the demon flash mob is spawning at X location north of Y, kind of thing, kind of like it does now. So I'm assuming something like that will be broadcast worldwide. So I hope they do something like that. Yeah, otherwise, otherwise you're gonna need a wilderness finding friends chat for this.
Yep, that's where I was going with that.
Yeah. Daily reminder that there are those of us here who would like to be able to be part of more than one friend's chat at a time, but I understand that's probably a big technical limitation. So I don't know that I want to say anything else on this right now, because there's more we can go into next week after we dip our toes into it. Do you have anything on this before we move on?
No, this is kind of neat. I guess I wasn't expecting it for Fresh Start, so that's cool. I mean, it's really cool too because I'm not on the main game right now.
Right.
Like, I'm in Fresh Start, so this is
and really that's cool. The thing. Fresh Start gets all the updates the main game does. So
yeah, very cool.
All right, and we need to have a bit of a chat, I think, because this week raised some eyebrows when the news post landed, and in particular, they said that there's no update this week, and there's even no patch notes this week, and the question was, okay, what's happening, Jagex? Why is that the case? And one thing that we need to talk about is that these no-update weeks could indeed become more common, and this is something that we've been ruminating on here at Update for a while, that Jagex in particular needs to be able to say, hey guys, there's going to be no update this week. And part of the reason they can't say that is that there's such a legacy of this game of having weekly updates. And with that, right now, RS is in a very interesting spot where the game ping-pongs between having monthly headliners and expansion-like content that's delivered out over 2 to 3 months when there aren't development delays as we see happening right now from them switching QA providers, as I talked about in the last live stream. So with that, the community rhythm of needing to have weekly updates is largely a relic of the past of how RuneScape used to be. And that really raises the question of what should a news post be in modern era RuneScape. News posts probably should be used for relaying updates, patch notes, the community presence, and they don't need to fit in the stereotypical Monday news post format that we've come to expect over the recent years. In particular, they could follow a format of something like this throughout the entire month. The first week of the month, they could announce the headliner update that was launching that week. Second week could be some sort of community initiative or a game jam update. Third week could be patch notes with a ninja strike. The fourth week news post could be a teaser for the next piece of content that's going to come out. And the point is that we need to get, as a community, we need to get out of the rhythm that there needs to be an update each and every week for RuneScape, because so many of the successful MMOs out there don't update on a week-to-week cycle, except for maybe some patch notes, which Jagex has always done. And we need to, in effect, realize that RuneScape has already kind of moved to that monthly headliner, and if not expansion-like model, just it's packaged differently and is delivered differently to the players of the game, which, when you think about it, makes sense, but a lot of people probably haven't realized that. And, of course, this is all subject to change in terms of formatting or how the post could be laid out, but the point is that the news posts don't need to be so rigid, that they're always accompanied with a Monday update that is patch notes. They could take a week off with patch notes, or they could do patch notes 4 times a month. And the point is that it doesn't need to be rigid. The community just needs to get out of the rhythm that there's going to be a weekly update. And with this week would have been fine. They could have instead said, we have no update this week, but instead we're going to showcase off some game jam projects, which we can understand that they might not be ready to do that yet from the perspective of publishing news posts, but we need to accept that a lot of the JMods have already posted their game jam projects online and the community is talking about them. So why not post them on a news post with an explainer that says, look at all these cool and interesting things that the JMods have been working on as passion projects over the week. Then include the disclaimer, we don't know if or when any of these are going to release, but this is what your JMods that you love to see and that they love to make the game and what they've all been working on over the past week, this is what they've been doing. Include the images that are already on the internet with an actual comment from the JMod. Let them get in front of the community as they love to do, as we've seen on Behind the Crown, how they always exude that passion. And showcasing these updates, which many of the players want, lets those JMods express their passion and see the community reaction to what they've been working on and get that dopamine hit. And this is likely going to be a good thing, since reactions to game jam projects are almost always going to be positive. And of course, the alternative is if the projects aren't ready to be talked about, They can just say nothing or say that we've been working on game jams focused around woodcutting or maybe focused around the Burthorpe Games Room, so on and so forth. Then, in the community section this week, they could have also introduced ModJack's stream and highlight the fact that he's a lead designer in RS and talk a bit about what that role is and why the ordinary RS player should check out that stream. And also mention ModJack's open policy for communication as he frequents the official Discord and talk about why communication is so important for the content developers at Jagex. And with this, they need to be damn sure to underscore how to communicate in terms of being civil, being ready to have a discussion, and not going in angry. Because anytime you do that for a content developer, you're just going to have them shut down and they're not going to want to talk to the community. But the key point at the end of this all is that news posts should be fluid, and with the support of community management, localization, and the editorial team, Jagex should get comfortable from moving away from these weekly updates. And this is just something that's been ruminating in the heads here of us here at Update for the last couple months. So let us know what you think on this, Tanis. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think this has been the way things are for a while now. We've been boiling the frog, and slowly turning up the heat, and it's time to just let people know that that is what's going on, and that's okay that it's going on, because this isn't the old Java two-dimensional sprite base. Like, it's
not old school.
It's not old school. There is no such thing as like a weekly update for what people have in their mind in any game, like in anywhere. And quite honestly, what we get is pretty good. Like,
yeah. And I mean,
I never feel like I don't get what I'm paying for or anything like that.
Right. Like, so, just compare even the patch notes here to something like the patch notes of Stowe or ESO that you get weekly, right? And I understand that they can call them weekly updates. They can call the patch notes weekly updates and such. But I feel like there's a connotation with weekly update that goes back to the old school era that expects new content with that. And I feel like there's a part of the community, maybe not a majority, that is still expecting that week-to-week content when you call it a weekly update.
And that called it a weekly update to kind of ease people into that, but it's not needed. It's not necessary. Let a patch note be a patch note. Let an update be an update. And it doesn't have to be, you know, we've said for a long time, we've been past weekly updates for years at this point. That was something, you know, even when Mod Borden came in, he changed a lot of that, changed a lot of that expectation. And so now let's just be real. You know what I mean?
Well, like, yeah, let's call it what it is. And,
yes.
And you know, I do think it also needs to be communicated somewhere, whether it's from the EP or somebody else. It does need to be communicated that the updates are that monthly headliner format, and that we might have weeks where there are no patch notes and there are nothing of substance aside from a server reboot. And we need to, and you know, I've accepted that's fine. We've adapted the podcast over the last year to work for those weeks. And it's something that I think just needs to be talked about at this point. And we need to realize that the news posts don't always have to go out if there's nothing to go out. And the news posts could be used for better purposes. And that's the story at the end of all this, really, in those weeks.
Exactly. And I would say, too, that like maybe not necessarily even the EP. I don't think this EP would be conducive for their style. But I'll tell you who it would be good for. I would love to hear this from ModJack. No one can tell it like it is, like ModJack.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, and get people to understand and see it for what it is.
And that's what we've always said about him. You know, he'll tell you what you need to hear, even if you don't like it. And he'll do it in a way that the majority of the community accepts.
Yeah, it's one of those where you're like, ooh, and then, oh, okay, yeah, he's right. You know, it's like, and you kind of come around, you're like, yeah, no, that makes sense.
And I think if I'm just going to sum all this up, it's that we're okay with no updates. Let's just not pretend that three patch notes is an update for the sake of saying we have weekly updates. I think that's what I want to end with.
Definitely, because then we can set the right expectations.
And we know how important you're not muddying, that is.
Yes, and you're not muddying the waters so that people have a clear idea and can have a clear expectation, right? Like, if someone is expecting a quote-unquote update and they get three patch notes, well, that feels like the rug's kind of pulled out, even if you are getting it weekly. Like, all this is doing is just kind of coming clean, kind of coming out with it, saying, this is the way it is. It's the way it has been for a while. And you're not, nothing has changed. You're not losing anything. You're not out anything because we've actually been doing this for a while. We've just been calling it something different.
Right. And by setting the expectations, you set the table going forward to be able to better communicate when you do need to get your message out and when you need to make it matter. And that's something that's slipped over the last year, is that the communication has faltered because the expectations have not been set and therefore not been met. And we all know that at the beginning it comes back to that, and we always point back at Menafos for that. So, and maybe that's why they didn't want to talk about Game Jam just yet, but all the JMods were out there talking about it, so why not talk about it in the news post? And that's where we're going next. But before that, I just want to thank our Patreon supporters for this week, because you guys allow us to do so much fun stuff. We just finished recording the monthly bit, 21 years of RuneScape told in 21 quests. We definitely have some shockers there. I had to be convinced along the way to go with certain quests compared to what my conventional wisdom was, so we had a good discussion on that, and that was Earth and Questcaping joining myself for that one. So if you want to gain access to that one, you want to listen to that, or maybe our skill tier list from last month, or the PVM tier list from earlier in the summer where we rated all the bosses, not just on which is going to be best, or not which one's going to make you the most money, but based on how they fit into their design goals. That's how we do things here. If that sounds interesting to you, check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB. You can gain access to that entire back catalog for as little as $1 a month. Or you can go a step further and have your name read out on the podcast and show your support like these fine individuals this week did. This week, I'd like to thank Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Bear Down, Beekeeper Steve, Big Huge Rat, Bryflex, Chunk the Monk, Cycol RX, RS, Diana, Drama Free, Flotsam Man, Free Milk, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jesse W., Ling01, Mohan V., Nate the Great, Nick G., OTR Gamer, Parnassius, Samuel FL, Skiotan, Scott DS, Shirtpants, Stabive, Tabby, The Naked Captain, Tom V., and Zant. Thank you so much, everybody, for your support. It truly means the world to us, and as I was mentioning, we have plans starting for as little as $1 a month. If you just want the monthly bits, or you want to show your support for the podcast, check it out at patreon.com/RSBNB. You get access to that back catalog. You get to vote on the monthly bits, come to our roundtables, and most importantly, you help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. If you want to go up to the $3 a month plan, we have a VIP rank on Discord, including chat channel access, and you get a mention on the podcast at the start of the month. And we do have the insider tier, where you'll gain access to the entire back catalog of the previous two tiers, and you'll receive exclusive outtakes that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year, and you can get that for $5 a month. So check that out at patreon.com/RSBNB if that sounds interesting to you. And once again, thanks so much, everybody. It means the world to us.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, and as I mentioned, we do have game jam projects that were announced by the JMods on Twitter. And we're going to start off with Montluma's game jam project. The ability to make board games from the Berthorpe game room playable outside of the game room. And of course, these are things like Rune Link and checkers and whatnot. And there is actually a video of this working at the Grand Exchange of all places. And I kind of forget that sometimes that the Berthorpe Games Room exists.
Well, yeah.
And
I can't say that I've ever used it.
Right. You know, I used it first when it came out, and beyond that, I've never gone back. I'm sure there are people who go there weekly to play games with their friends. I've heard all sorts of amazing stories about families, you know, fishing on RS. So I'd imagine there's also the same sort of people who go play Rune Link or checkers at the Berthorpe Games Room as a way of socializing with families and friends and whatnot. So I wouldn't outright suggest removing the games room. But I think my only question with this is, does it add any kind of ambiguity into it that you can do this at the games room, but you can also now do it in the surface world? Is there anything that kind of needs to be adjusted with that? Or do you just throw this in as kind of like an accessibility thing that you go to the games room and you buy your own, say, collector's edition of Rune Link or something, right? Maybe that's the way they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't say I would use this one, but, you know, it's a nice accessibility thing, and I imagine that there are definitely people who could do that. So, definitely wanted to show this one off because they know there are fans of the Berthorpe Games Room out there.
Hey, this game's got layers. It's got games within games within games.
Oh, boy. That's a little bit confusing for my head. All right. And then this is one that garnered a lot of attention online. A game jam rework, partial graphical rework of Karamja with a lighting and texture update, similar to what we had in the free world, with new palm trees assets from the Ark. So there's images posted of this on Twitter.
Yes. And see, this is one where I think we need to set expectations, right? This is not the full, you know,
rework. Like you would expect in a Varrock rework.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what it is
it makes it look like it fits with the rest of the game.
Yes. Yes, which we desperately need. Please, please make this one happen. and especially going back there, right? Like over the last couple, 2 or 3 weeks, Shane, like it's it's very noticeable. And you know, they could give us the treatment that they did with the free world, that would be a great start. That would hold us over for a long time. That would be great.
But, well, yeah, and I mean, the biggest thing is the lighting and the fog changes that have an impact on this. Like, the starkest one is that area just west of Shiloh Village. It looks like a completely different area, even though it's the same geometry.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the waterfall near the Kazari jungle that has the RuneScape HD era waterfall on it. And with the one that was put in for this rework, it actually, you know, looks a lot better with this.
And once again, you have, this is something that they did when they did the free world, but have you noticed like how much difference the contrast makes?
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, it separates things out.
And I guess you would be the one to see that, since that's how you see.
Yeah.
So you can see so all of these things are popping with more contrast, is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. They're easier to differentiate from the background noise kind of stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, it just looks more modern as a whole as well. Mm. And, you know, it's a wonder that they actually found palm trees that they were actually able to use for this that were updated.
We know tree drama.
Yeah, because we heard about how complicated trees can be on the Black Witch Behind the Crown.
Who would have thought?
I'm really with the community on this one, that this is the one that I'd be jumping up and down for, in all honesty.
Yeah, me too.
And then, you know, obviously there was the discussion, I think it was either Jack or Osborne, somebody had that discussion that they said you can't really update Kuramja without, you know, completely changing its identity because of the colonialism aspect of what it pulls on. But I think if you just focus on the graphics and the trees and the environment of it and just leave everything else as it's been, you can kind of get around that, in all honesty.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, does everything have to be a big? Let's just make it look decent. Let's differentiate the trees and the dense jungle from the medium. I mean, let's start there. You know?
Yeah.
We haven't figured out the whole legacy of colonialism anyway, so let's not try to do that in RuneScape right now.
Also, in one of the pictures, you can actually see that the lava on the volcano heading into the Tsar City is updated too.
Oh, that's cool.
With the wilderness style new lava that's fluid like.
Very cool.
Yeah. So there's that one, and I feel like that one took the internet by storm. Then we have Mod Camel's rework, a woodcutting rework. And I was leery of sharing this one too much, because the caveat from Mod Camel is that he said, I wasn't going to post this since it's just a bare bones prototype and is very unlikely to make it into the game due to how big of a project it would be. Emphasis my own. But for Game Jam, his team worked on a woodcutting rebalance and mechanical rework/rewrite.
With
progress bars above the head, similar to the mining progress bar.
And let's put a little bit of emphasis here on rebalance. We get new mechanics, but I don't think we're getting like an expansion of woodcutting or a new trees or this or that. It's probably very much like a mining rework where the trees would be non-competitive.
Yeah,
there'd be progress.
Because when you think about it,
maybe we finally get new hatchets.
You know? From my understanding, new hatchets would mean the entire woodcutting skill would have to be rewritten. But
maybe, I don't know. I guess.
And for what it's worth, Mod Camel, his title is Senior QA Analyst. So. What that means, quality assurance, is that he should have an insight into how complicated or how complex something is on the RuneScript side. So with that being said, we need to take it with a very, very huge grain of salt that this is unlikely to make its way into the game. And this one has the second most number of likes on it next to Mod Alex's Kuramja rework, in all honesty. So take that for
because,
what it's worth.
Well, because this is something that we would like to see. We talked about this. I think we talked about this in one of the bits.
Yeah, about how to rework a skill.
Mm-hmm. So I would like to see this, but I'm not looking at it through rose-colored glasses like what you're saying, Shane. Like, it is
like,
unlikely.
We know this is needed from our fresh start experience in that with mining and smithing, you can smith armor and weapons all the way up to tier 80.
Mm-hmm.
The fletching and crafting side for magic and ranged is sorely missing because of that, and that also touches into fletching and crafting beyond woodcutting, and that's why this is such a big project, in that you start asking all these questions, but this focuses purely on the mechanics of woodcutting. So I just want to highlight that.
Right, and I think that's what makes this, like, yes, it's unlikely, but it is what makes it a practical and reasonable suggestion. Like, that's the difference, right?
Because
you can let the perfect become the enemy of the good, right? Like, we're talking
How I've been in that boat before myself, and that, you know, you want to keep adding on, but you got to decide at some point that you're just done.
Exactly. So this would be a good place to start. We can deal with fletching later, can deal with crafting later, but for now, getting some new mechanics with the woodcutting skill. I know the common knowledge or the common theory is that we couldn't get hatchets, but I like to think that some great minds might be able to figure that out.
Yeah, because, you know, they said the bank rework wasn't possible, right? With placeholders.
And
they found a way.
Exactly.
So.
And then, with new mechanics, with how the trees work, who's to say?
Yeah, you might not need it.
Like,
right? Because your hatchet goes up to, you know, tier 70 plus now with honed and whatnot and all the different perks on it. So. And then you throw in the. You throw in the fire torch and you're cutting elders at the same rate you cut magics. So is that really that big of a problem? Maybe you just, you know, modify the offhand or something with an augmentation. Who knows?
Right. Yeah.
Then we go to Mod Sponge. And this was the end of the JMod Game Jam projects that I saw online. He went out and asked what small combat quality of life or in general stuff would you like to have? And there's a good number of ideas on the thread. I'm not going to go into too many of those, but ones that he said that he is looking at doing and seeing if he can get approved is reducing the monolith power required for the luck relics down to 50 monolith power, so the bare minimum, so that they'd be easier to slot in relation to something like with a combat setup if you wanted to use your luck of the dwarves as a monolith power rather than needing to suck so much monolith energy for it. So that's something he's looking into, seeing if they can get approved to do. And then on the other hand, he said that he spent the previous 2 days prior to this post rewriting hit chance so that it should be easier to understand your end value. And as we know, there's so much math in the RuneScape combat system that is obtuse and abstracted away behind the game client. And if you can have a hit chance that kind of functions in the same way that it does now, but you're able to present it in an easier way via the user interface or maybe some sort of basic combat tutorial, then that's all the better for the end user at the end of the day. I'm not going to go into the hit chance formula right now. We've done that before on the Rex Matriarchs episode when those came out. But nonetheless, I think this is the kind of thing that you could get done at a Game Jam project. So we'll just have to wait and see if this arrives for any of the upcoming combat fixes. So probably not going to change much on the front end, but make it easier to understand what the hell's going on with hit chance.
Much math for me. I like the mystery.
I don't. I like to know what I'm going to hit.
I like the mystery.
No, I needed to know because I was questioning this week if I'd need to go kill dragons, and I had to pull up the hit chance formula, my levels and whatnot, and I was effectively calculating hit chance for green dragons with the various combat styles because one of my combat styles is higher than the other on fresh start, and I wanted to know if I could use that one. And the answer at the end of the day was yes, I would have been able to. So,
you know what else you can do?
What's that?
Go out there and just try to kill them.
Yeah, but then,
can,
but then,
it works,
but then
can,
I don't have the empirical knowledge if it's actually, if I'm like right on the edge or if I'm just getting lucky. You know, well, I gotta know. Right. I gotta know. I gotta have the information behind it. So.
Fair enough.
All right, we talked a lot about Mod Jack in the news post segment, but I want to talk about his live stream this week because I feel like this was an interesting live stream. It was a new format where Mod Jack went alone. He went on the live stream on his own and talked for a little bit more than an hour about design in RuneScape and unveiled the beginning of what's going to be a new series. He had no host with him. Mod Spear was running the board behind the scenes. And he said what he wants to create is a casual place where we, him and the community, can hang out and talk about RuneScape. And he said that he understands people have frustrations, but voicing them to directly to developers kind of puts them off. Boom, right there. First thing he said that the community needed to know. So, are you on board with Jack's new live streams?
I am, and so people that listen to the show know we're pretty big fans of Mod Jack. Liked him ever since he kind of jumped in the scene. Well, when I became aware of him, you know, with the mining smithing, and I liked his straight shooter just style. So you know, this was another live stream very much in that vein. Now, for me, it was something that people definitely probably needed to hear, but this is something that we talk about
a lot
on the show, off the show. We talk about it a lot. So it didn't, you know, it didn't grab me in quite the same way. But it was definitely something that I think was good to get out there. And it was a good first step. I can see like the follow up, the subsequent streams. This was kind of like a foundation he was trying to put out there so that he could build on. So in that way, I think it was a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And just, and you know, everybody who listens to Update probably knows this about how to talk to J-Mods. You talk to them like normal people. You don't start yelling at them or accusing them of being dumb or stupid. You just go in and you talk to them like normal people and you have a conversation with them. And that's one of the things that he underscored that he really wants to be able to do, and said that's what needs to happen for there to be a dialogue between him and the community, or in fact any other JMod that wants to talk. So I feel like our community probably knows that, but it's definitely something that I think the wider community needed to hear.
Definitely. And I mean, and you could tell with like the way he was talking about it, there is a way, like you don't have to agree with every single thing. There's a way to approach it. There's a way to talk about it. Because then, look, at the end of the day, if you're hoping for change, then you want to go about it in the right way. If you just go straight at somebody, all they're going to do is shut down. And if you shut down, you're definitely not going to get what you're looking for, right? So you have to be constructive. You have to, you know, try to present in the right way. Because at the end of the day, a lot of the JMods are players themselves. They want it to be better. They want it, you know, they want us to like it. And that's kind of a two-way street, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually surprised about that comment about how so many of the people who make RuneScape are players, and that they have many hardcore ones in there, which is not necessarily common in game dev, believe it or not. So the discussion then went to talk about the corporate structure at Jagex, and in particular what the lead game designer does. And he confirmed that prior to this, the lead game designer was Mod Osborne, and before that it was Mod Mark. And the idea behind the lead game designer is that the lead game designer is in effect responsible for the decisions that are made in terms of how to accomplish the objectives that the executive producer is going to put out for the game of RuneScape. And once again, we knew that, and it's important to talk about, because I think many people, and he touched on this on stream, definitely confused what the role between, say, him and Mod Warden was, because you go from Mod Warden, who was a very public figure, now you go to Mod Jack, and the idea behind that is maybe Mod Jack is in the executive producer role, but he laid it out in a very good hierarchy chart of how it works within the company. So I'd say go in and have a look at that if you're interested in learning a bit more.
Well, and I thought what was interesting with this, like if you're having trouble like envisioning what, you know, the lead designer does, I really think the best comparison is, because that's what Mod Osborne was, right? Under Mod Warden. Mod Warden was a little bit different in what we have seen as EPs. Mon Mark was is closer, right? But Mon Warden was kind of like he was out there, and he was kind of what we needed at that
Yeah,
time.
he was the right person for the time.
Exactly. And I think Mod Jack is really good as this lead designer because he's able to pull these strings together and see the overall picture. Unfortunately, we lose his design expertise, which is
Right, because he said he very rarely now actually
sad.
gets to poke his fingers in and actually design something. And I'm sure both you and I were thinking of the mining and smithing rework when he said that.
Well, I was thinking of all this. I mean, yeah, especially the mining and smithing rework, but there's been so many things. Like, I mean, even look at what we've talked about with the complicated comp rework and how much of that has actually made it into the game over time. You know, like, Mod Jack is a hell of a designer.
Right,
Like, and I hate to lose
right, and
that,
but at the same time,
but
he's also able to, in effect, put his stamp on the updates going forward to step on those same sort of things that he was so passionate about on the design side. He can kind of use the team to push that forward at a larger level now, I think.
yeah, so in a way, we lose those like very specific, very, you know. When you come across the piece of content that was designed by Mod Jack, you kind of know it.
Right, and that's also like the Timbo content or the Ryan content or the Sponge content, you know?
Exactly. Whereas now,
And this doesn't take away from anybody else. They all have their unique spin and take on it.
But some are a little bit more distinct, right?
Yeah.
Like they got a flavor to it, you know. The cool thing is now we will see those strains kind of be pulled together, and he can kind of put that, yeah, like you said, that expertise, like, you know, and in a wider, a kind of a wider breadth there, you know, kind of touching a lot more than he could have if he was just focused on single projects.
Yeah. So and he had a and in terms of the EP above him, he had a very good description of Mod Keeper's role as how he sees executive producer and how he's going to be an executive producer. He said that Mod Keeper's interpretation of the role is much more like a facilitator in terms of being the glue that keeps all the specialists together and letting the other people below him perform their roles rather than being the face of the company. Or the face of RuneScape, and that's why Jack has started doing that role more, being the face.
And as you can see, like that can go either way. That can be your lead designer that's out there. There can be your executive producer, and that's going to change over time depending on where the game is and what the game needs. You know, who's better at that. You know, like, and we've seen that change. We've seen
Right.
that go back and forth.
And it all comes back to the community and in terms of knowing what the community feels, what the community wants, and then filtering those up through the team and then having the team be able to execute on that. Which
Definitely. I
I think
mean,
is
with
something that Mod Keeper definitely landed on when he got here as EP, was that he said that people wanted more quality of life updates and more frequent updates and the pattern of updates to be reliable, and we've seen that with the exception of the QA snafu that we had in July.
Yeah, well, and think about like right before Mod Warden kind of came on, or at least became, you know, very well known. A lot of Mod Osborne was the one carrying the torch a lot, you know,
Yeah.
as the lead designer.
Yeah.
He was the one, and he's what we needed at that time. We wanted to feel that passion, and there was nobody like Mod Osborne that could just make you excited about RuneScape. But then we kind of entered this period where we needed to feel like there was leadership. We
Right.
needed to feel like there was.
And now we're in a position where we need somebody who's going to be able to deliver on what the community feels is very important, which for a lot of people has been the economy. And that's one thing that Jack actually said, is that his number one priority, aside from actually shipping content, is the economy of the game. But I'm getting ahead of myself there, because I actually have a really good quote from him that I need to share with everybody. He said, "I'm not going to do a live stream where I'm going to criticize the design of something I don't like. I have to walk that very careful line. There are aspects of RuneScape where I would be critical, and there are aspects of RuneScape that I have been critical of, and there are player complaints that I might agree with, but I'm not going to go on live stream and say, that was shit. I feel sometimes there are players that are trying to bait us into doing that."
Yeah, well, and are there players? Yeah, there's players. And there's Pied Pipers.
You're right! You're right!
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing. And this has to be one of the hardest things that Mod Jack or any of the JMods who go on the live stream or the CM deal with, is knowing how to cut through all that noise and to know what the real legitimate feedback actually is. And are you being influenced by a vocal minority? Are you being influenced by sub-communities within the wider community? Or is that what the community at large actually feels? And then how do you choose what to execute on that on? So that's a very difficult line to walk when you're dealing with particularly player complaints, as Mod Jack said. And that's why I think it's just so important to have the roles that are there as a senior designer and such.
Well, and he said something really interesting too about how things make it into the game, how they decide what is right for the game. If you, it can't just be a small percentage. It can't even be just a majority. Like it has to be good for a consensus, basically, of the game. Like he used example, 45% versus 45%. Well, we got to find a way to marry those two. We got to find a way to forge that together, because you can't do content that way. You're just gonna piss off half of the other half.
Right,
like,
and
This isn't America.
And with that, he said that, he'd also like to go into in one of the streams why RS3 doesn't pull stuff like old school does.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be an interesting discussion, because I always feel like there's this reluctancy for CM and other JMods to talk about with this, but I feel like as lead designer for RS3, this is something that Mod Jack now would be qualified to talk about and use what we have described him as that position where he's going to tell you what needs to be said, but you might not like it. I feel like he could deliver that and have that discussion with the community about polls relatively easily.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of it's going to sound very similar to what you've heard on this podcast before. This is not something we've shied away from, but coming from him would have a weight to it that I think people probably should hear and understand, right? Like, you gotta understand why. Just saying it isn't the same as the way that he is pretty good at breaking it down. I when I saw the whiteboard, I thought, oh boy, Shane's in love now. Oh boy. Here we go.
Right, and he said he actually considered going into the office and using a real whiteboard. But that's the general point of communicating and what Mod Jack wants to do with these live streams, and a bit of an overview of how his area at Jagex looks compared to being a content dev or the EP, as Mod Keeper is. He was asked about the mining and smithing rework, and this was a follow-up from that ability of actually being able to criticize certain pieces of content. And as mining and smithing was something he worked on, he felt he could criticize it. And he said that he's generally really happy with it. He feels that mining is in a really good place. Tannis, you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's not quite as happy with smithing, because he says the main issue is it's not very good for spam creating items like creating the burial items. He'd like to have a way to be able to create those burial items easier.
And, I mean, spot on. That is spot on. And I can't help but to put the think back where the biggest criticism, you know, the biggest problem with the mining and smithing update was it was too popular for too long. Cool.
And it took too many resources, right?
And it
didn't necessarily fit the business ambitions of the company at the time, but boy, did it satisfy the players who were there for that launch.
That
was fun to hear. Most of the devs are playing RuneScape at least semi-actively, and everybody had, and the reason this was asked was about things that people would like to fix, and he said everybody has their own hit list of things that they'd like to fix. He said it could take a minute to explain the problem, but just due to the nature of the game, it could take days to fix. And, you know, this is something that was a direct question from chat that he answered. And for some reason, I feel like this question has never been asked before, and it's never been answered by any JMod. And now we got this on record from Mod Jack as being that's why things that are seemingly simple to fix aren't yet fixed.
Yeah, we've heard things go around and around when it comes to like prioritization, but it seemed like this was more concise, a little bit easier to understand when you realize there could be, I think the example I used was 1,000, you know, there could be 1,000 things, and it takes time just to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah, when. Triaging the list, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And so I think we've heard about prioritization, you know, before, but this kind, I think, put it in pretty stark terms. You don't think of that many items, but 20-year-old game.
Right, the classic example of this was the Ninja Team Dojo, that spreadsheet document. The Ninja Team opens this up, you know, for a month, and then they got thousands of items to sift through, and sifting through them means that you're spending more time working on that than actually dealing with the code to implement that. And that's just something that goes hand in hand with working through these huge lists of fixes that need to be done and whatnot. So, when it comes to design, vision, and strategy, he said concrete decisions on the way that things are made, but he has only told some of the dev team about it so far. So what this means is that he was ready to talk about his methodology as lead designer going forward, but he hasn't necessarily briefed the entire dev team about it. So he didn't want to go public with it yet. So it's fair to say at some point, maybe later this year or early next year, we'll be hearing something about that. And once again, that's something that Sirion has always been hampering on, is that it feels like there's no plot. There's no carry through 1 year to the other. And when I say there's no plot, I mean there's no general strategy for the type of game updates. Sure, they have a plan for story and narrative and whatnot, but is there a plan for how things are going to be determined and what the strategic focus of the updates are going to be for that year, right? Like, is it going to be a year of QL or is it going to be a year of new stuff, so on and so forth?
Well, and how that balances and how you get all of them in there. Because, you know, we've had the 5-year scaling plan. We've had, you know, we've also had years where we got 4 new bosses and not much else. I mean,
like last year.
Like last year. Exactly. So I think finding out what his philosophy is, and I kind of have. There were, if you're paying attention, you could kind of start to see a little bit of what that may be, you know, going forward. I will say that I got the distinct feeling that he understood the regular RuneScape player, not the super high level PVMer or this or that. He understands the identity of RuneScape and the and how RuneScape's actually played by most people.
Right, as in we don't need to go and buff 2449 Telos.
Exactly. Hey, and if you can do that, wonderful, great. But at the end of the day, if you were to just open up YouTube or something like that, you would think that this game is all about that.
Right. And it's not.
It's not. It's not. And it makes it confusing too, because
20 out of 28 skills are not combat skills.
Exactly. And if you think this is a combat game, and then you go and say you've never seen RuneScape before, but you hear it's all this, you know, obviously it's this combat game. Look at everything. It's all about combat. And then you go and you watch something and it's combat and you're going, ew. Seriously? Right? I mean, if you weren't from here, you'd be going, that's
okay. Not combat, folks.
Yeah.
That's not and combat. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, then this led to a discussion on what exactly a content developer is at Jagex in terms of the fact that this goes back to the very beginning, in that in a typical game company, you would have a game scripter and then a technical designer the technical designer would come up with a design and the game scripter would implement said design. But the content developer is what Jagex operates, which is a combination role between people who are able to write the scripts, but also people who are designers who use that design aspect from other games. And the reason for this is that initially RuneScape updates were designed and written by a single developer, meaning that when you wanted something to go into game, like a quest, back in the day in the 2007 era we were talking about, it would be designed and written by a single person. They'd say, hey, maybe I need a music track, maybe I need an extra NPC, then the art team would provide them with the NPC and the bush or the tree, whatever they needed, and the music team would provide them with an audio track, and then it would be up to that designer to figure out a way to work that NPC, work that music track into the quest, and then ship that. And that's why content developers is what they're called, in that they're a combination between designer and actual scripter, which is different than most other game studios out there. And once again, this is something we've talked about before on the podcast, but much of the community probably is not aware of that, about how it breaks down at Jagex.
And I mean, to be fair, this is harder to understand. Like,
it is. And I'm biased in this regard, that I have an understanding of the field, and I don't necessarily know how much this made sense on live stream to somebody who was not aware on what the field looks like.
Well, I mean, I have, you know, pretty rudimentary knowledge of it from being around and being here. And this part was a little more convoluted for me.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. I could follow it, and I knew what he was talking about, but it's just a little harder to understand because it is so unique at Jagex versus anywhere else. I think it has to do with how the way that I took it, my takeaway was, it was so small at one point, that's just kind of how they had to do things.
Yep.
And
that's how it was. and then I think after that they actually hired some designers. He said they hired four designers, him, Osborne, and two other people who I'm forgetting the name of. And with that, they were actually then able to have multiple developers on a single project. And an example given to that was Dungeoneering. So that's how things used to work. And he said, you know, and I think he described it as chaos at one point, whereas with now they're kind of shaking all that out, and you can see where the origins of RuneScape came from and why the actual developers of the game have so much influence on how the actual content looks.
Yeah.
So I found that discussion interesting, and maybe it's something we need to ruminate more on. So, okay. And then, this is approaching near the end of the stream of the stuff we wanted to talk about. He said his first priority is to ship content, which I mean, obviously, right? You don't want to have any huge gaps in content as we had this summer or are feeling now. The second priority, though, is what is that content going to do other than just give players a new thing?
Bam.
His second priority is the economy. In particular, the balance between skilling and combat. And his general take at the moment is that the balance is a bit off. There will be an update next month that touches on this.
Yeah, so this was music to my ears. Music to my ears. Now, if you were to ask me should be the biggest priority in RuneScape, I would have never said the economy. I know that people freak out about the economy. They're all about the economy. It's the economy, stupid. Honestly, it's not that big of a deal to me. If I need money, I don't mind throwing a few bucks to a bond. Whatever. But that's the thing. Everybody's got to take a little bit of their medicine, right?
Yep.
So I'm taking a little bit of my medicine. That being said, like, having someone actually acknowledge that, hey, combat and scaling are way out of whack when it comes to that. Yes, thank you. Thank you. And it doesn't have to be equal. Let's just bring it in line a little bit.
Right.
And the way you can bring it in line is let's make these ecosystems. You know, they've done pretty good with that in the last couple of years of building the ecosystems between what you make skilling wise and then having components that drops and making that all work together. So I'm very curious and very anxious to see what we're going to get next month.
Yeah, and when you think about the timing on this, they say next month, which is November. And then what that means is obviously December, you have the Christmas update. And then we know in early 2023 is when the death and grand exchange changes are happening. So what if this is the skilling side of the rebalancing to the combat side coming in early 2023 to kind of rebalance things and make things a little bit more equal? What if that's what's happening next month? I don't know what that would look like or how successful it's going to be. And I didn't think it was needed either until I heard this. But, you know, thinking about it, it makes sense. Obviously, my perspective is skewed as I can pretty much kill any boss in the game with a little bit of effort. So if I need to, I can just go fire up one of the bosses I know best and go print some money.
Yes.
And that's a different perspective.
And that is only, and that, if they don't see, and here's the thing, if they don't address that now, then that gap will only grow because if you're doing some kind of a grand exchange, death cost type of rework that reduces that risk, which has always been the caveat for that crowd.
Yeah, and keep in mind, RuneScape
only makes more of a gap.
Yeah, and RuneScape is an entirely different game when it comes to dying and death and combat risk. There's very few other MMOs out there where dying is a monetary risk to you, or a significant one of that.
Right, and so when that gets reworked, if that gets fixed, if they weren't to put something in place, then, I mean, you really would, as if there wasn't enough of a wealth gap, you would really see that, crazy.
And I'm just wondering, how do you do this? Do you work on the gathering side of the skills? Do you work on the artisan side? Do you add some sort of new skilling item sync that's going to, you know, sink the tons of magic logs that are in the game due to PVM? What do you do with this? Like, what is this going to look like? I honestly have no idea at this point, and I'm really eager to hear more.
Yeah, I'm just really curious to see. I mean, I've never been disappointed in the end with anything that they've done. It's same with, like, you know, when it comes to tempo and balancing. In tempo we trust type of thing.
And keep in mind, if it touches the economy and it's balancing, there's probably a good chance that Timbo has at least looked at it.
Right. And so, like, I'm not sure what this is going to look like, but, I've come around to the idea of, yeah, it's probably, it's needed. And, I think it's going to have to do with just the ecosystems, the way things.
Yeah, and when you look at any other game, that's precisely how it works. It works on ecosystems. So, but in terms of skilling and how all that works, there's this thing called Fresh Start Worlds where certain activities are very lucrative. Presently, we're gonna do our Fresh Start Worlds update right now. I'm gonna start. Then we have updates that Parnassius and Thaxi have recorded. Then we're gonna go to Tanis here as well. I've been having a time in Fresh Start Worlds, believe it or not. It's been an interesting week for me. Would you believe that I'm already 94 farming?
Yeah, Shane the Farmer, or Shaney the Farmer.
Yeah, with three E's on it. I also got the farming pet Brains at 6.3 million XP.
Awesome.
Which, I mean, we knew it was going to happen at some point, right?
Yeah,
Based
I
on
mean,
just
but
how
now you get a halo.
the skill works. So there was that. I also have my dragons rolling. I have my zygomites rolling. The entire farm is running beautifully, and it's going to be providing nice amounts of XP along the way for me, which is actually really important, believe it or not, because, and this shocked me, I'm currently sitting around rank 23 or so at the time of recording this. Take a guess how many people in the top 30 on the high scores have 60 farming. Or sorry, 60 construction for the large pens.
I don't know, maybe 40, 50?
No.
Oh.
Last I counted, three.
Oh.
And the number.
Well, don't stop, dude. Keep going. Go to
No.
120.
Right. And now guess the number of people who have 40 farming in the top 25. Aside from me.
50?
No, eight.
40? What?
These people
No
are just
way.
sitting at Het's Oasis. They're not doing anything else. They're not leveling construction
Dude,
for the
that's
player-owned
in
farm. There's only a handful of them who are doing that. So I'm going to start gaining ranks on these people once the dragons start coming in and the zygomites start coming in. That was my biggest shocker of the week in looking at the high scores, is that the people aren't training construction to get their medium and large pens. Now, I guess they could be waiting for a modifier to go up to get more construction XP. But at the same time, you really want to get those zygomites and whatnot rolling early on, because those start at level 81, and the zygomites are the best method of beans, which are very, very important later on. And dragons are a nice source of supplementary XP as well. So I thought I was going to need to do Dragon Slayer to unlock, or start Dragon Slayer at least to unlock the Dragonfire Shield and go kill my own dragons. But interestingly enough, for a bit of money, I was able to buy two dragons on the GE, and they were the right gender. So that made things relatively easy for that. I did a few extra quests along the way. I think I'm at 35 or 36 quest points at this time. I bought dragon bones for 43 prayer, and the sense you're getting here is that I actually have money now, which is true. And that's because the golden roses that you get from Het's Oasis, when I last sold them, guess how much they sold for? One golden rose flower.
I don't know.
80K.
That's crazy. And if that's what the people doing farming are doing, and there's still that much,
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah. But the reason there's so much is the golden roses make the powder of penance, which, for anybody out there who's doing God Wars 2 or Elder God Wars in the form of Glacer presently, and maybe Karrapak, they need those because they don't have overloads yet for prayer renewal. So what the powder of penance does is it makes it so you use less prayer. So that's why everybody is buying these flowers to make those prayer powders.
And they probably don't have, like,
they don't want to spend the time. They don't want
to line to go through.
No, there's no quest line for that. There's no quest line. You can walk into Hetz at level 30 farming,
right?
Start gathering flowers, and there's a chance you get golden roses.
Yeah, right. Well, what I'm saying is, like, if alternatively you try to go get soul split, that's a hell of a quest line that you got to go through,
right,
to get that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So. And even just the herb lore side of it, there's no prayer renewal potions, and if there are, they're going to be expensive right now. So That's why that's becoming such a thing, and why it's such a good moneymaker on the farming side. And it's let me buy more stuff than I was actually thinking I was going to be able to buy, believe it or not.
Yeah, money has not been easy for me to come by at all. Well, because I have to make choices, right? Like, I've either got to use the stuff I'm gathering for further XP.
Yeah.
Or I have to take that time to sell it, you know, and this basically comes in the form of, for me, it would come in divination, right?
Yeah.
In form
of energy. And you know, with that, let's hear about what you've been up to, and we'll go to Pranasith and Thaxi after you on this. I just want to say that I also did Gunner's Ground, Blood Pact in terms of quests, and a big shout out to Thieves for donating me a male Zygomite, allowing me to get the breeding going of those. So that was very important on there. But
nice.
Yeah, 94 farming and no sign of stopping yet. So what have you been up to?
So I've been really hitting, I thought I was gonna hit invention this week. A little optimistic. Divination took a little bit longer than what I thought it would, but I did hit 80 a couple days ago. And so I then started gathering gems to finish off my crafting.
Right.
Which I think I have that banked. And now I'm pretty sure
Is it under 70 presently?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not much.
Because you get the extra modifier from this. Okay. So, yeah, you get the extra modifier, but not for too long.
Yeah, not for too long. But my mining is setting at 79, and my smithing will probably be at 80. But when I'm done smithing the stuff that I have now. But I am setting at 1,037 total level. So
nice.
We're cruising when it comes to leveling. And I'm still just having fun. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just, it's still just fun. I have so many ports. Dude, I got, like, if you added up my porters, I have two versions of the porters that you use emerald necklaces for, and then I have like a whole bunch of the ruby ones that I haven't even made yet, but I have all the stuff for. I've probably got 1200 1300
it's porters. Too bad those aren't tradable,
right? but that's going to help me like majorly when it comes to fishing, woodcutting, you know all this other stuff.
For me was always a pain without porters.
Yes.
So
yes,
there's that as well. But that's been the general sense, is that Fresh Start Worlds has surprised us in terms of things we've learned and what we've been able to do with this, just either experiencing the game from a different perspective or experiencing it with the fresh economy. And that's why we want to keep doing these spot checks on people we've been talking to about this. So with that, we're going to go to Parnassius right now and see what he's been up to on his new Fresh Start account.
Firstly, just want to say, 1 week in and still thoroughly enjoying it. Not really concentrating on any particular skill right now. Having started 10 days after everyone else, I don't really have a chance at the top 100 in anything. So it's purely enjoyment on my part. Right now, I'm concentrating on level 50 in all skills, except obviously invention. This week, I've spent a couple of hours at Monkey Face Punch Bonanza, unlocking Cedar Side and the Farmer's Outfit. It's pretty good down there. Unlock Cedar Side in under under 2 hours, and I should have the full farmer's outfit by the time you're hearing this, so it'll be about sort of 4.5-5 hours and sort of unlocked everything I need from there. Also, having a ton of fun replaying the old quests. Most have been doing the novice ones, but I knocked out Dragon Slayer for the shield, and just up there killing dragons in the wilderness for the hides and trying to get a few eggs. Fantastic being out there without worrying about player killers and just the mobs that come around. I did die once, but, you know, 5k to get my gear back was not really a worry, especially since the bones that I'm going... or getting for there are going for over 7.5k each, so sweet to see those prices on the GE again. Right now I have 56 quest points, my combat level is at 77, and my skill total is at 1087. Higher skill obviously is in magic at 65, along with defense, which is at 64. Obviously they're the highest, being out there doing sort of a lot of killing at the moment. My slayer is at 50, been doing a lot of that. I think I might try and get 99 slayer by the end of this. And my farming is the highest actual skill, which is at 55. The majority of the rest are between sort of 32 and 49 at the moment. Anyway, I have probably waffled on long enough, so for those of you who are playing the Fresh Starts game, good luck in reaching all your goals and hope you're having just as much fun as I am. To those who aren't on the Fresh Starts, may your gains be plentiful, and until the next time, happy scaping to you all.
And then over to Thaxi now.
Yeah, so this week has been a relatively quiet one for me on Fresh Start. Things are starting to slow down a little bit. I'm getting to the, you know, I'm working through all of those low-level quests that give, like, one quest point because they actually decided they wanted to balance quest points. So they're a little bit longer, but they're low-level, so they don't give you a ton of rewards. And I'm just working through them zone by zone. So I'm up a couple dozen quest points. I'm up a couple hundred total levels. I'm approaching base 40s, so hopefully by next week we'll have that sorted, have a new cape. And just vibing, and the, like, ooh, somebody just logged in next to me with a Slayer, with one of the 120 Slayer cape on. That red actually looks gorgeous. Holy moly. Easily distracted aside. Discovered this week that you can pickpocket and, like, do agility now with the Boon of Regeneration, and because those activities don't actually put you, air quotes, into combat, stuff like Pyramid Plunder and those, that, like, you don't need to bring food. You can actually just, like, go and do them. And the Boon of Regeneration just keeps you topped off from HP and prayer. There was somebody I saw in the Anachronia Agility course literally running around with the Regeneration Prayer. I think it's Regeneration. What's the... Redemption prayer active, that when you fall below 10% health, it instantly drains your prayer points and heals you. Well, if your prayer points are going up every 6 seconds, you just have infinite free heals. Like, that boon, the more I think about it and use it, just becomes a Googler. But anyways, that's what I've been up to this week.
All right. I didn't expect us to have so much fun with our Fresh Start update that I put you right next after me, but I figure that made sense to do in terms of that. And we're going to talk about some of our Fresh Start achievements right now. We do have a few more of them this week. On October 12th, RL Batora got 99 construction. One of our community members got 99 construction in Fresh Start.
Damn. Damn.
That's a big one. Like, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know how that hell you would do that in the current economy.
They cleared a lot of jungle.
What does that
mean? They had to. Well, you got to clear jungle and get your trading sticks. Then you go down there, get some porters.
Oh, and then mahogany, right?
Mahogany, right. Yeah. While you have, probably while you have your kingdom of Mistania going.
But at the same time, kingdom rushing is not necessarily the easiest thing, because you got to do Fremenic trials, which I also think when you start looking at the kingdom, you got to start factoring the hero's quest too, if I'm not mistaken. Though I could be mistaken on that, but
I'm not sure. I don't think you need anything other than the ability to collect the trading sticks. For the hardwood.
Right, for the mahogany. And then you can just kind of sit there and, you know, it's easy enough to collect it within a few minutes. So, you know, easy enough to chop your own wood with that. So.
And here's the other thing with that. And we could be completely wrong. Who knows how they did it. But I remember back in the day when I was doing it for the first time, pretty much you can count on about one or two special logs per inventory of logs. Those two special logs will pay for those to be turned into planks when you go to do that with the lumberjack. So okay. It's a way you can okay. do that for on the cheap too. Takes a long right. time though.
Okay. All right, fair. And for what it's worth, just looking at the high scores, RL Bator is currently ranked third in construction.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 15.7 million XP. Amazing. Then we also have FSW Mage God with 99 strength and attack on the 12th and 99 ranged on the 10th. So obviously going for the combat 99s and eventually 200 mils there. So congratulations to you. And then you're gonna take us back to the normal game with our achievements there.
That's right. So we are starting off on the 12th with Fight Caves with 120 thieving. Then Aomi with 99 strength on the 11th and 99 attack on the 11th. Then we have the 82nd Airborne with 120 smithing, nice, on October 7th. And Tim 2 with 120 agility on the 7th. And then Terry Dax with 99 herb lore on the 6th. And please tell me that it's a play on, what's her name? Joanna Dax? All right. Deep Space Nine?
Esri or... Jedzia.
Jedzia.
Right. I couldn't remember the name there for a minute. Oh, boy. That's a problem. That's a problem.
But nice achievements, everyone. Look at the 120s popping in the main game there.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are always fun to see, especially in agility and whatnot. Though I guess that's just Silverhawks at this point, right?
I hope so. Oh.
All right. So I have a pick of the week for everybody who is an iOS user, and this is a pick of the week that there's dedicated apps out there that that do this for you. And one thing people like sometimes to fall asleep to is the general sound of background noise, right? Like a white noise generator or a fan or something, right? Mm-hmm. So what exists in iOS 16, and this is new to me, is that there's a way in the accessibility settings, if you go to settings, accessibility, audio and visual, and then background sounds, you can turn on background sounds and get a collection of background sounds on iOS. Oh boy, that's a little bit too loud. There we go. I'll turn that down a bit. There. That's not as loud as it was, but there's a whole collection of background sounds that you're going to be able to have with this. And they have a collection from balance noise, which is what you're hearing right now. I think that still might be a little bit too loud. Let me go down again to level 2. There's bright noise, dark noise, which is, I feel if I was going to use one, this would be the one to use. Then this is where it gets really interesting. We have the ocean.
Yeah.
We also have rain, sounds like rain falling down on a tent or something outside. But here's my favorite, the stream. A nice stream of water running next to us doing the podcast here. And these are just built into iOS. And you have to go into the settings to turn them on and off. So it's not something that can easily be turned on with a control. You have to go into the settings and do it, and then go back into the settings to turn them off. But it will definitely put these sounds out. And it feels like this is just one of these features that would just add it to iOS for the sake of a developer wanting to add this as their own personal accessibility feature. But it's there. It exists. You can set it so that your phone will stay on for a certain amount of minutes, and then after that it will lock. And the reason you do that is that when the screen locks, when your phone locks, that's when the sound will stop. So it would be a good way of in effect, having a noise box if you were gonna wanting to fall asleep with this or something like that. So this is just another one of those little iOS features that you don't know exists, but when you do it, you might find a use for it. And I'd be interested to see if there's ever going to be some sort of user front end to this that doesn't necessarily rely on downloading a third-party app that has its own sounds that you need to pay for, because there's a lot of those that are quite honestly really garbage in that way. But if you could just have a control to access these iOS background sounds, that would be really all you needed. So that's the pick of the week, background sounds for iOS 16, and apparently this will also be coming to macOS Ventura when that ships later this month. So just a fun little tool that iOS users are going to be able to access. So that's my pick of the week.
That's very cool, and I've already been trying to think if I can devise ways of adding it. See, there's a quick way to get to your accessibility options, and you can pick which accessibility options you want on your access. Like I think on the 13, if you hit the side button 3 times, it pulls up your accessibility options, that your quick accessibility options. Like mine has voiceover and the magnifier.
Okay, mine pulled up the magnifier when I did that.
Yeah. So I wonder.
Oh, so there is side buttons for. There is an option for the side button, but it's only for click speed.
Huh. Okay. Well.
Maybe there is a way to do this somewhere.
Who knows? There might be, though. I mean, yeah.
That's so neat, though.
Yeah.
There's also, and I don't know if you've turned this on, and this is diverting a bit from the pick of the week. If you go into your accessibility settings, there's an option for live captions where you can have a live caption FaceTime calls and video.
I have not, but that's cool.
Yeah. So. And, I mean, I'm sure Android has these things, but Apple always seems to be at the forefront with these accessibility tools. So, like it. And that's why that's why that's pick of the week, because I know lots of people who need white noise or just want to have, you know, the general sound of having a stream running or something like that. So that's why this is my pick of the week. And I've included in the show notes at update.show a link showing you where you can find this in your iOS settings. So
this is a great pick.
Yeah.
Great pick. I love all the water ones.
Me too. And you know, that's why we use iOS, in all honesty. It's just the accessibility side for you, and just how it feels like a very nicely polished OS. But I think that's it for this episode of Update. If you want the show automatically delivered to you, subscribe. That's the best way to get it. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Pocket Cast, Amazon, Stitcher, and more. Visit update.show/subscribe and click on the one that makes the most sense to you, your favorite podcast listener. We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/rsbnb. There we post the video versions of the show, the nibbles, and more. So please do like and subscribe. It greatly helps the channel out. And with that, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBnb Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.